Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The general manager of the White Sox, Rick Hahn, joining me here on The Score. What's up, Rick?
Not too much, Lawrence. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for jumping on. Let me start here. What's it like to get some positive attention for your squad? What's that feel like for you?
It's rewarding to an extent. You certainly love to see guys like Lucas Giolito, a guy we traded for, obviously, or Tim Anderson, a guy we drafted and developed, or James McCann, a guy we signed as a free agent, getting deserved accolades for how strong of a first half they've each had. At the same time, it doesn't really distract us from the fact that, yes, there's progress, but we're not where we want to be just yet. There's still, obviously, some young players that we plan to introduce over the coming months and years to this core, and we're excited for that process to continue moving forward. But at the same time, yeah, I'd be lying if we all weren't taking a little bit of pride in some of the early progress from some important guys around here.
I've been talking a lot over the last couple of days about my experience at the ballpark on Friday and this weekend overall, where you split the series with the Yankees, but there was definitely a buzz coming from White Sox fans. Yes, Yankees fans are legion and they show up, but I'd love to know what it was like for you to be in the ballpark as that four-game series went on and you could see kind of a groundswell of White Sox fan support showing up at the ballpark.
You know, there was a bit of a electric atmosphere or a playoff-like atmosphere around here. Obviously, multiple games over the course of the weekend or the four-game series were sold out, and there was a high level of energy. And you enjoy that. That's positive. Look, we know what White Sox fans have been through for the last two-plus years. We've felt it ourselves every bit as strongly, if not perhaps more so. So it's rewarding and it's exciting and it feels good to start seeing the progress, to start seeing the end of the beginning, so to speak. But we know there's still more work to do. We know we're not where we want to be. It's great that fans are taking some level of enjoyment in this and that they're able to see this starting to come together. But the real satisfaction is going to be coming in the future when we have that type of environment here in October.
White Sox general manager Rick Hahn joining me here on The Score. Rick, how has Lucas Giolito turned into this?
A lot of hard work and a lot of introspection, a lot of honesty with himself. I think we all know, and it wasn't a secret to anybody who watched us last year, that Lucas wasn't performing at the level that was projected for him or that he was capable of performing at. There were candid conversations between he and Don Cooper and Kurt Hassler and Ricky Renteria. But in the end, he deserves the lion's share of the credit because he's the one who went home unsatisfied and was not stubborn and instead was open-minded about how am I going to get back to fulfilling that potential I had when I was drafted in the first round, despite being injured at the time. And to his credit, he went back to his roots, started working with his high school pitching coach, who did a tremendous job sort of rebuilding his mechanics, and Lucas's hard work and open-mindedness have and honesty with himself have paid off. I couldn't be happier about that for him, given the individual that he is. But on a broader sense, I'm really happy with the maturity and the introspection and the hard work shown by one of our players as an example for others. And frankly, I'm happy with our coaches and their open-mindedness in allowing a player to reach back to someone outside of the organization who knew him when he was successful and allow him to play a role in helping to rebuild the kid.
That's an important thing that you bring up because it seems as if sports doesn't always allow for that level of introspection and it seems as if now that we're getting closer and closer to more organizations allowing for guys to be themselves and genuine, and also take a look at what they're doing right or wrong. Have you noticed that around sports?
I have, and look, in recent years there's been a lot made, especially in education, about a growth mindset. And that is some of what you're seeing in some of our young players. They've not only been indoctrinated with that coming up through the school systems, but it's also part of the culture you try to curate both in player development and ultimately at the big league level. It's in baseball, which is sort of has a bit of an old school tint to it and a bit of a stubbornness or reluctance to new ideas, you're seeing the high level of success that a lot of clubs are having with being more open-minded and more experimental and not being rigid in your ways of saying, this is who a player is and this is the only way to get them better. Instead, again, with that more of a growth mindset in terms of allowing a player to explore alternative ways to get himself better and not being limited to just what you've seen with your eyes over the course of the recent past.
White Sox General Manager Rick Hahn joining me here on The Score. I've become a big James McCann fan. How would you describe his impact on your squad?
I'm a big James McCann fan, too, so we got that in common. He's been outstanding. Look, going back the last few years, one of our major league scouts, a guy named Billy Shear, had very positive reports on James and projected him to have all-star potential. Big part of that was from the defensive standpoint and what he can do in terms of managing a staff and sticking to a game plan and adjusting and so much of what goes into the catcher's role in terms of maximizing his pitcher's performance. Now, James made some adjustments over the course of this offseason, and actually it was Chris Getz and Jeremy Haber, our farm director and assistant GM, who kept staying on me to make sure we didn't let this guy go past the boards in terms of bringing him in and allowing him to work with our pitchers. He's been outstanding in that regard, and frankly, he's been probably even a little bit better offensively than any of us, Chris, Jeremy, or Billy even projected.
What would it mean for you if McCann, Giolito, maybe a couple other guys that are up in the voting would make the All-Star game?
I think it's great. Look, I'd put T.A. right in the middle of that conversation. And Anderson would be a player that obviously we signed and developed throughout our minor league system and as well as at the big leagues as he's continued to evolve as a player. Giolito being someone that was part of one of our big trades and McCann being a free agent signing. I think those all three are nice stories about different elements of our player personnel procurement system working. At the same time, look, man, we know where we're at. This is just the start. This is we want to add to that. We want to get to the point where Moncada is getting that all-star recognition that we feel he deserves. And in the future, Eloy and other of the young pitchers and position players will be joining us over the coming months. So, again, it's great to see that progress. But from our standpoint, it's still just the beginning of getting to where we need to get to.
How is Yoan doing?
You know, I don't have an update from today. I'm over at our ballpark. Haven't been over to Wrigley just yet. It is a minor thing, but it is something that we're not going to necessarily take risks with. Unfortunately, the only time he actually feels any bit of a little bit of a twinge in his upper back is on full extension against when he's taking his right-handed swing. And I say unfortunate because we're in the midst of three straight games against left-handed starters. So if we were facing a lefty, it'd probably be a little bit easier to put him out there. And again, maybe based on another couple of days of treatment over the last few days, he's good to go today. But at this point, I don't know that just yet.
Rick, you brought up Tim Anderson. What's it like to have a player bring attention to the franchise with his personality and then back it up with what he's doing on the field?
I think it's fantastic. And I also would add to that, Lawrence, that TA also brings attention to the organization for what he and his wife do off the field in terms of their charitable work and community outreach programs, which are just sensational and thoughtful and have a great impact on our community. But it's love the fact that he's showing the world the character and the personality and the intensity that he has. You're going to see others in the coming months, I think, with that similar large personality. You've seen portions of it from Eloy already as he gets more and more comfortable in terms of letting the world see who he is. Giolito's, as you probably know, is a fantastic interview, and that's because he's honest with the world and honest with himself, and, you know, Kopech's another one. So the list goes on, but we love the idea that people are getting to know our players and appreciate not just what they do between the lines, but the character that they have and what they bring to the ballpark.
How's Eloy How is he handling being pitched like a five-year vet?
And, you know, it's pretty remarkable because obviously his reputation preceded him to the big league. So instead of, you know, the normal rookie treatment where he was getting would get tested with heaters and see if he could beat them on, you know, here's my heat, see if you can beat me. They skipped that stage and went right to nasty breaking balls off the plate, starting in fastball counts even. So he's adjusted to it. I think you saw a lot of progress over the course even of this weekend against the Yankees in terms of some of the pitches off the plate that he was spitting on. Now, he's still 22. He's still a rookie. I'm sure he's going to be pretty amped up for his first opportunity to play in Wrigley Field tonight. But it's definitely progress, and it's one of the benefits of having some of these young guys here now is to get some of these experiences out of the way and under their belt and allow them to have all these firsts behind them for when the time comes that we're in a position to contend for a championship, but those things are behind them.
Rick, every time that I watch Reynaldo Lopez, I see it. I see what you guys saw. I see the stuff. What's keeping him from taking that next step in his development?
It's a great question, and I think there's a few mechanical things that are wandering on him. Obviously, his two best outings, I think one was when he punched out 14 earlier, I think it was in May, when he was basically reliant just on his four-seamer and getting guys out to the top of the zone. And then I would argue his second best outing, even though I think it was only about six innings, was last weekend against Kansas City, where you saw just a magnificent pitch mix and a much more reliance on his curveball that we hadn't seen in his prior outing. So I agree with you. You see different elements of a well above average major league starter in there. It's just a matter of consistency and getting it out. He's a thoughtful kid, and I do think that, you know, sometimes his mind might get in his own way, a little bit too focused on is my arm slot exactly where it needs to be right now, as opposed to just having the feel and trusting his stuff and the work that he puts in on the side. So, again, another young kid, another one is going to have some growing pains along the ways here. But as you point out, and I agree, the upside's there, and you can see it, and it's just a matter of getting it out of him on a more consistent basis.
I get that circumstances probably played a significant role in this, but what did Zach Collins do to earn the promotion?
He's got elite zone recognition, elite power, hits the ball extremely hard, and obviously provides us with some versatility in his ability to catch, play some DH, and first as well. You've probably heard me say ad nauseum that we don't want to bring guys here strictly because there's a need in Chicago, and we don't want to bring guys here until we feel like they're in a position to succeed for the long term. And we know some guys get sent back, but that's not really our intent when we bring a guy here. Usually. For a catcher, I'd make it a little bit different. There is so much that goes into being a valuable defensive presence as a catcher. It's different, obviously, from all other defensive positions. And we do think he's going to benefit, whether he's here just for 2-3 weeks or however long Welly is out, or he's here for the rest of the year. We do think there's benefit to having him here, working with James McCann, working with our major league staff, and learning all the game prep elements that are done at the big league level, where obviously we have the greatest resources. So this may conceivably be a short-term thing for him, but it's going to be a big step for him forward, we think, in his development over the next few weeks or however long he's here.
All right, Rick, I find you to be a very fair man. I also know that you've got some meatball in you from your own days of when you were a fan. So what's fair for White Sox fans to think about the 2019 White Sox?
Oh, it's a fair question, and you're right. You are. I thought you were, when you said the meatball thing, you were going to go to the Cubs Sox series specifically. But for me, people ask me at the start of the year, you know, what would be a good win total? Is 500 fair? Do you think an 18-win improvement for this club, getting to 81 wins this year, is fair? And for me, it's as I said, opening day or in spring training, and since then, it's more about how we get to that win total. That's going to be important to me at the end of the year. A team that, say, hypothetically wins 81 games but is on the back of guys who are short-term guys or free agents or in their 30s or perhaps not here for the next decade is a lot different in terms of progress and long-term health of this organization than a 75-win team, or pick a lower number win team, that is driven by the success of young players like Moncada and Anderson and Giolito and Eloy and any others that we bring up. So as a fan, obviously the meatball side of me and the competitiveness side of me, I want to win every game. The way I behave during games is not good, and people should stay away from me. You know, we're in the midst of an 11-game stretch here against teams that are going to be playoff caliber or are playoff caliber and in the mix right now. And we want to win all 11 of them from that meatball standpoint. Fundamentally, though, for the long term, it's going to be important that our young players continue to build off the success they've had already so that at the end of this year, regardless how many we win during this stretch or over the course of the entire season, we know that certain players have taken that step forward and can reliably be counted upon to be part of a championship core going forward. Because, again, our focus remains on the long term.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.